diamonds on my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. If you try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I need time, got a sign. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine. Pockets running over with the dollar sign. Try to take it from me.
Welcome to episode 200 of Fourth and John. I am Gail Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn, Chris Malley, and Jimmy Smith in the building. And we're talking the NFL draft class for the Eagles. The Eagles 2021 draft class. Cue music.
Don't get a flag now.
You feel like a proud parent. You're welcoming these new dudes to the nest. We've got a mixed array of talented players, maybe some role players, some skill players, some leaders of men, a lot of captains in the building. But overall, after sleeping on, we did go live for close to 20 hours. I had to revisit the draft class, and I'm feeling all right. I'm not really feeling the grades. Like, are we really grading these guys? I mean, I say 85% of the people of Eagle fans have not jumped into the film to really diagnose some of these players. So before you give the grades, go back and watch the film. So, I mean, right off the bat, how are you guys feeling? Did you get some sleep?
I'm well rested, man. I'm well rested. I ended up getting some sleep after the draft. There was a lot of absorption, a lot of soaking it all in after it happened. I'm not going to lie. During the draft, when we were all watching it happen, I was confused with the rest of the Eagles fan base. I wasn't exactly sure of what the focus was, what the scope of what we were actually doing, what the plan was. All in all, though, I was pleasantly surprised by the end of the third day. I'm not going to sit here and say that we absolutely killed this draft. I'm not saying that by any means, but I think that we did a decent job. I think Howie did a much better job than we're prone to him doing, and I'm excited for pretty much all these guys that we ended up adding to the roster. I'm excited. I think that there's a lot of guys, days two and three even, that could come in and contribute, and we could see them next year.
I agree with you. A little excitement, absorbing it, taking it all in. I understand there's some people upset about things, and you know, I was a little upset when we passed on JOK myself, Aaron Robinson. There were a lot of names out there that we liked, but I think what I myself was doing and a lot of people out there, we were kind of looking at the positions of need. We said, you know, you got to go best player available, but you're looking at the glaring need at linebacker and corner. So a lot of guys we liked, Jabril Cox in the third. There's so many names we could go through, but the Eagles went ahead and stuck with their board. I think they did a really good job, everybody, not just Howie. And I think, you know, when you look at the draft as a whole, they did a damn good job of making sure we're retooling for the future. But we stocked up on picks for next year. We got a first and a fifth. And the guys we got this year, all high character guys. 6 out of 9 of them were team captains. We got leaders. And even some of the undrafted free agents are team captains. We're looking for high character guys, high IQ. I like the direction that this team is headed. You guys know I love Nick Sirianni, so I'm feeling pretty damn good about the draft and liking some of these undrafted free agents we're going to talk about.
Yeah, first things first, thank you to everyone in the chat for the last couple of days for lightening the mood, staying along for the ride, and overall just being very knowledgeable Eagles fans. I mean, that's what it's all about. We try to bring everyone together, and we really appreciate that. And you guys stopping on Sunday night at 8:21 for being in the chat as well. And we're going to go over all the draft classes, and we're going to talk about some of the other draft picks from the NFC East. But all in all, though, I feel really good. I feel like Howie Roseman really encapsulated the whole message about the season. Not saying that the season is a wash, but this draft class is really like a 2 to 4 year plan. Does he have that long? We'll see. But right off the bat, getting Devonta Smith was awesome. And then you see the guys, like, I see the vision on offense 100%. They're going to trust Sirianni and the coaching and development team. And I can see that. It's not like we're getting a bunch of, like, Clayton Thorson's and Donnell Pumphrey's. I mean, Kenneth Gainwell's a baller, and I'm really excited about him. He's one of the highest value picks that we got. But we'll get into those guys later. And the UDFAs, the undrafted free agents, I'm really excited about that. Gail, AJ, and I were down at the Senior Bowl watching the film. Trevin Grimes from Florida is one of the guys that was putting up a lot of great plays and clips the entire weekend. So really excited to have him on the team, and we'll get into it more in depth, but thank you guys again for tuning in.
What's up, AJ? I mean, how are you feeling? Did you get to sleep on did you sleep on your feelings? Because I know on draft day you might have felt a certain way. First of all, I want to say I'm sorry that JC Horn is gone. Another one of your guys, Izzy McQuamo, got drafted by the Cowboys. How are you feeling, man?
When we were first on the chat talking about JC Horn, I said it right then and there that he was going to go to the Panthers. I was hearing that Matt Rhule loved him, loved his aggression, physicality. So I knew that was happening, so I kind of wasn't letting my hopes up. As soon as Surtain went off the board to Denver, I automatically knew that they were going to get Devontae Smith. Like, in my head, I was thinking, like, Howie's not going to not get Devontae Smith because of the whole, if they're building around Hurts, it's going to happen. So that's just how I felt about that. Izzy McQuamu is still my guy, but
I don't know about that.
That's not, I don't know about that anymore, man.
It's brutal, man. It stinks.
I mean, Jabril Cox is a Cowboy. Come on, now. Yeah. Come on.
Brandon Knox got to go to the Cowboys. He got his wish.
Yeah.
Talk to prospect alum.
I'll remember you, man.
Brandon Knox. I remember you were saying that if you get drafted by the Eagles, you come back for.
He was like,
would you come back for interviews? He was like, yeah, maybe. I was like, yeah, I'm not really feeling that.
Literally, Gail, if I didn't love you, I literally was almost about to be like, Cowboys suck, right at the end. I was like, I can't do that. I got to be professional.
Well, at least he got drafted. So, as a UDFA. But overall.
Nice hat selection, AJ, by the way.
My man.
I'll throw that out.
But
look at us. Just need some flyers in here.
As soon as I saw the Eagles draft Teron Jackson, I started going nuts because that's my guy. I've been talking on and off with him on Twitter.
I think I had you on my show. Yep. Mm-hmm. And I got you to bring him up because I'm a huge fan myself.
That's great.
Me and Chris, we're losing it. You should have been on the show, dude. We were that one.
Yeah, him and Dean, we're going nuts.
let's start looking at this draft class here again. The 2021 draft class. I feel a little sentimental looking at these guys. I'm like, all right. Because they hold promise. They hold future. They are the children. Let them lead the way. Let them show all the beauty they possess inside. That's a little Whitney Houston for you uncultured swine. Let's go with Devontae Smith, a guy who is near and dear to all our hearts because we've been looking for a wide receiver one for a long time, consistent at the catch point, dominating the SEC, dominating all college football at 166. Either way you slice it, I think the fan base was excited. Can we all give our feels on Devonta Smith as the first pick of the 2021 draft for the Eagles?
It was about the most exciting pick that I've had in years, if I could be completely honest. That was not just this draft, but in years. I think they knocked this one out of the park in the first round. Devontae Smith is a guy that there's really nothing you can complain about with him aside from his weight. The dude is a technician in route running. The way that he is able to go up and get the ball at his size is insane. His sideline awareness, I've seen so much Devontae toe tapping going on, and he's been practicing getting that second foot in for a long time now. He's all about he's a pro. He's absolutely a pro. He's going to wreck this league, I truly think. And I hope Jalen Hurts is the guy that can help him become a pro bowler, man.
I mean, look at that toe drag swag. Any wide receiver has that mental IQ to get two feet down, and in college you only need one, so he's already above the curve there. Yeah, Chris, well, I know you're fired up. I mean, we did a talk to Prospect on where you were fired up.
That was the first thing I was going to say. I mean, we've been talking about this kid for years, not months, years, like ever since last year when he came on the scene. We've been like discussing him, saying like, could you imagine if the Eagles finally, like, not just for Jalen Hurts, like just for the franchise quarterback in general, they got the best on paper out of college receiver in franchise history, probably, because this is a guy that just won a Heisman, and on top of that, he had the most prolific season ever in the SEC. And the thing with him is, you got a high quality off the field guy. He is insanely talented on the field. No one can cover him. They bracketed him. They doubled him. Nothing worked. He's a quarterback's best friend. He's the smartest wide receiver in the draft. And on top of that, he can high point, get 2 feet in, and he's a prolific route runner. And there's just so many good things you can say about him, and I don't want to dwell on it, but it's really exciting to see them actually getting the quarterback some immediate help, and a guy that is a former teammate and a guy that the city's going to embrace. He's the hardest worker. He gives 150%, and if you want to win the fan base over, that's exactly what you got to do, and that's exactly who you have to be.
Definitely. We talked about, you know, going after a weapon in this draft. Even when we're at six, we had high hopes for a lot of these weapons. We talked about what that would do for this offense, not, you know, just for Jalen Hurts, but the run game in Miles Sanders, and then the other receivers in Rager and Fulgham and Ward, whoever, Goddard. Look, this was an amazing pick. And the way he did it, people were furious that we traded out of that sixth pick. And I kept trying to explain that, you know, we might move back into the top 10 just to, you know, get one of these weapons. And it was, why would you do that? Well, that's if you only give up way less than what you gained. We still have that first round pick next year, guys. I mean, how we fleeced some people, and we still got Devontae Smith. I remember last year I started bringing up Devontae Smith because everybody was so high on Ja'Marr Chase. And then when the season ended, I brought up the tapes again, and I was like, look, everybody's freaking out. Let's keep in mind Devontae Smith is pretty good, because if we don't get Ja'Marr Chase, this guy's awesome. So I got to write that article. Check it out on 4th and John about Devontae Smith in January. Some people felt a certain way. You know, he sucks. He does. Whatever they were saying. The guy wins the Heisman right after that. So it's like he doesn't suck at all. And if anything, it's amazing. Since the 90s, nobody's won the Heisman at wide receiver. He did that. And he, like Chris just said, broke all kinds of SEC records. This guy's playing against top talent. He's a true wide receiver one. He's an X. I don't care. He wins one-on-ones. He's got the footwork, the hips, the hands, all of it. I'm excited as hell. I love it.
Yeah, as do I. And as you brought up with Howie, I was one of the ones who was mad about it at first, because you go up and you're there at six and you can potentially get a Pitts or you can get a Chase. Well, now Howie's looking like a genius because they went 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And you get a first rounder next year for it. So it's just a smart move. I'm super high on Smith. He opens the field up for every single person on that field, because most people are going to think that we're not going to be that great of an offense this year because of Hurts, young team, young coach. But with a dynamic route runner like Smith, it's going to leave a lot of people open, which could be a very explosive offense. And I'm really, really excited to see what can happen with Sirianni, who kind of feeds the ball to everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I think the overall the offense will be a lot more, I think things are going to open up a little bit more when you have a guy like Devonta Smith, like, stressing defenses. I mean, you talk about X, I think you can move them all over the field. I mean, you think about, you know, the thing about wide receivers, especially rookie wide receivers, and not knowing how to be cross-trained, and like they're learning one position, right? Mm-hmm. I think he's the kind of guy who, from day one, his IQ is like already top notch. I feel like he's just gonna slide right in. I think it's gonna elevate the mental of the group. I'm hoping they come together as a unit. You know what I mean? Like, not all wide receivers come together. Some are like, yo, man, you're about to steal my shine over here, or they could either be like, brotherhood, let's do this. I can't wait to see it.
Well, that's one thing that Devontae Smith talked about in one of his interviews, that him and Waddle would go back and forth with a certain play call for them or the other one. And he'd be like, rock, paper, scissors, you got it. Rock, paper, scissors, you got this one then. Rock, you got that. So that going along what you were saying, that kind of feeds right into it.
Yeah, that was telling when he brought up rock, paper, scissors. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Ev.
No, I just wanted to say the point that, like, I just think it's so exciting to have a player that they're not trying to sell me on just versatility. There's so many players I feel like we end up drafting where, like, they could play multiple positions. I'm thinking of a guy like J-Jaw. When we originally drafted him, we talked about his versatility. They talked about his versatility, whether he could play outside, he could play the slot. He was more of a jack-of-all-trades, master of none. We really haven't even seen his full potential in any one of those positions yet. But like Devontae Smith, him being as intelligent as he is, and when the explosiveness and his playability just jumps off the page at you the way that it does, I mean, it's just like apples to oranges when you look at it. Like, that's a legit wide receiver. That is a guy that can actually play all those positions and get the ball in the end zone no matter where you put him on the field.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Jerome says here, you know, this is exactly what we were talking about with Devontae, or even if it was Ja'Marr Chase, you know, you put another stud in this offense who can move around, who is versatile, the same as Reagor is, you know, can move in the slot, can be a Z, can, you know, be in motion all the time, get those end arounds. Now a defense is wondering what are they doing here? What's this? You know, you got to key in on so many people now. Like AJ just said, and we've been talking about, this is probably going to be a pretty explosive offense, and I don't think people are ready for, you know, what's in store. Yes. Get ready to, yeah, that.
The Slim Reaper, baby.
The Slim Reaper. Hey, you know, some people didn't like that one, but I was looking for Slim Frame. That could be a new touchdown dance. Hey, man. But, you know, we're not talking a slim guy. I mean, this guy is when you buy clothes, if there's like he was a kid, you look for Husky times 10, because this brother is as husky as they come, man. This guy is he's probably like a, if you wanted to get a bouncer for the rest of your life or a security guard to follow you around, this dude right here,
big
Landon three. Dickerson, 6'6", 333 pounds of this guy just lots of fun on the football field. I'm sitting here watching tape of him. I fell asleep watching Landon Dickerson tape. I'm like, I woke up at like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm just like, what am I doing? Let's turn the TV off here. It's just really weird. But he's like pancaking dudes, like for fun. And he's looking for the fight. You know, like if there's a rumble going on, there's either one guy standing on the outside, or there's a guy like Landon Dickerson who is looking for all of the smoke. Because you better bring syrup, because he's bringing the pancakes. Are you guys excited about Landon Dickerson? I know. I mean, the injury thing, obviously, I said it on the show. I said he would be a potential target if Stoutland gave all full clearances on this, clearances and go. And if he feels a certain way about him, who am I to say it's not a great pick? I mean, it's a solid pick. I had him in a first round grade if he was healthy, but not. He's a second round grade and he got drafted. It just sucks that we're not going to see him right away.
I think we all got hung up on the injury thing, myself included. I mean, it's like a long ass rap sheet of injuries. Then you go back and look at it, the two ACLs, the two season ending ankle injuries. I get that. There's a lot of baggage that comes with Landon Dickerson, but when you look at his ability and his strength, his raw strength, I saw another a Baldy breakdown where he's pushing someone through the back of the end zone. Like the play is over. It's like the play is 20 feet away, and Landon Dickerson is still playing to the whistle, pushing someone all the way to the back of the end zone. The dude just loves to win one-on-one competition, so that's what I love about him. I think he's an excellent prospect. I just hope that he's able to see the field consistently.
Dickerson's Decletions is what it was called.
Dickerson's Decletions, yes.
Yeah. I've been on the Dickerson train since about November. You go all through my Twitter timeline, Dickerson's the best, one of my favorite O-line prospects. He's nasty. He's got that grit. He's got that alpha dog in him. He, like Hearn said, he wants to win every battle. If he loses, he's going to still make you feel him. The injury concern, I mean, the injury history is a concern, but at the same time, you could have no injury history and still get injured tomorrow. So you never know in this sport. So you basically take the best player available. And in my opinion right there is Landon Dickerson.
Yeah, he's a top 20 talent if he's, you know, doesn't have that medical history. The guy is a beast. You talk about bringing the syrup. Dude, this man can plow people over. And Jason Kelce isn't getting any younger. We were surprised he came back this year. So if you're talking about a guy maybe retiring, yeah, you kind of want to add some depth there. So we talked about adding offensive line. We didn't talk about it on day two too much, the fans, that is, because, you know, they didn't want to believe it. That morning, you know, made a show, brought up Landon Dickerson. Nobody wanted to hear it. Oh, don't you dare. We need a linebacker, a corner. And it's like, I feel the same way. I totally am with you guys. I totally feel that way. But as a football team, they're looking toward the future. We're not one player away from winning the Super Bowl here, guys. We're retooling so we can win multiple Super Bowls. So a guy like Landon Dickerson, number 69 in the center, I love it, dude. And I think it was a fantastic pick. I think it's a blessing in disguise that he's not going to start this year. You know, everybody's upset about it, but it's like, yeah, sure, maybe he competes with Samalu or whatever people want to think. But if he does have that injury history, what if he gets to just sit out a year, get healthy, and learn from some of the best linemen I've ever watched? I think that's great.
Yeah, the thing about you,
I was just going to bring up the stat real quick. I mean, he's got 20 starts at center. He's got 11 starts at right guard, 4 starts at left guard. One start at left tackle, one start at right tackle. So talk about that versatility that you like. But go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, the thing with Landon Dickerson, think about everyone loves watching Quentin Nelson like highlight videos. That dude is a monster. That's what you're getting with Landon Dickerson when he's healthy. He is the best offensive lineman in the draft next to Penei Sewell. He was a guy that was doing it every single down at Alabama. Najee Harris would just put his hand on his back and say, big boy, take me to the promised land. I mean, Landon Dickerson's awesome, and he's a guy that you can really he's a leader. He's a guy that you can really just buy into as a player, and the line will love that. He does not stop even until the whistle is blown. He can help in the run game. He can help in the pass game. And it just stinks that he has all these injuries. But even with all the injuries, you see all these videos of him working out and doing like all these like crazy like splits and stretches and everything. He's just like a freak athlete. And the injuries are really unfortunate. But let's see what happens. The whole thing is you do have to consider the injuries. The team 100% did. They addressed that. But when you get to the 37th pick and a guy that's a top 15, 10, like top 10, 15 value is there, and you know that you're not going to be competing for a Super Bowl this year, you take it, especially when the strength, the weakness of your team the last couple of years has been injuries to the line, but your strength of the team is the line. I believe that the entire record of the Eagles is dependent on the health of the line, and it's frustrating that we have all these quote unquote injury prone guys, but when they are healthy, they're some of the best in the league. So let's see what's going to happen. And the big thing is, do I trust the medical staff completely? No, but Jeff Stoutland, who's from Alabama, you know that he was getting key intel about Landon Dickerson and hearing all about him off the field, on the field, and especially in the training room. So they knew what they were doing with this pick. And it was just frustrating because this is a guy that you might not see play a lot this year, but this is a guy that you could be cheering on at the link for years to come, and a guy that could be paving the way for the final drive in a Super Bowl in the future. Like, that, he's that good, and it's someone that you should get excited for.
I think that this was a huge Stoutland input pick because I was reading on the timeline today that Dickerson was like one of Stoutland's favorite prospects coming out of college in his career.
Bama boy.
Yep.
Well, yeah, he said that. He was like, I love, you know, Jeff Stoutland. He talked to him before the draft. He was so excited. Listening to his phone call was so cool. I just loved when he said to Sirianni about, you still mad I beat you in rock, paper, scissors, huh? Yep. Like, I was like, yo, dude, like, that's the kind of guy I want to see on a podium in a Mumbers outfit. Like, that's what I'm talking about.
Just seeing the dude before the draft doing cartwheels behind Jones in an interview, like, that's as Philly as it gets. Yep. Just joking around, being a fun guy. That's what most Philly guys are like, you know what I mean? So I think he'll fit. Even not even just on the football field, just in the locker room so well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, going back to Brandon 98 here, he has two questions for us. He says, one, do you think with how he drafted this year helped himself keep his job for another year?
Yes,
absolutely.
I think he's in the driver's seat.
You know my opinion on that.
Cruise control, baby. This guy's got cruise control.
He stacked up the pick for next year on purpose.
Howie's unkillable.
Chris says, if the Eagles were coming off a Super Bowl year playoff run, I'm okay with the Dickerson in the second, but they were 4-12. Yeah, I guess you know, like some people chalk this up as the retool year. He's talking about retooling the trenches. That's how they won the championships. They did. They had one of the most dominant offensive lines, had one of the most dominant defensive lines. You're talking about two deep at every position, and they muscled the hell out of the whole league. They had a ground and pound running game. They could take shots downfield. They were versatile, and the team liked each other. That was a great time. but we're talking about Eagle fans not really liking a pick. We could talk about. His value was around this part of the draft. A lot of draft junkies were saying they love this pick. I know Fran definitely was high on it. He wanted the pick when it was made. Milton Williams, this guy, 6'3", 284 out of LA Tech, Louisiana Tech. From an athletic profile, like dude, we're talking about a guy who ran a 4.63 at his size. That's impressive, but I think. You know, in terms of adding another tool to the shed, hopefully he's a guy that can develop right behind Fletcher Cox, and a guy who, if he's in like a Malik Jackson type role where he can, you know, rotate, go inside outside, you might like to see that. But I mean, overall, I just feel like some people just thought there was other potential players to be had. You know, was that argument actually over Aaron Robinson and them wanting a corner? That would have been nice. A guy who's got inside outside versatility ends up going to the Giants. But again, like if they're trying to retool and get that beef up the interior, you're talking about what is it saying when they're drafting two defensive tackles? That some people had. We'll get to him soon, but Marlon from USC. You know, the fact that that's showing you something about like they're trying to forecast someone not being here in the long term. And even instead of on the Eagles, it's funny how like Spadaro will talk about like a player, like because they're trying to make the fan base get a sense of the pick and why they made the pick. And they're like, well, you know, Fletcher Cox is getting old. He's not going to be here forever. And they're like, what are you trying to push him out, bro? Like, is that what the vibes are? So, I mean, overall, was everyone shocked going around the room? Yeah. The first half.
I was shocked when it happened. But I think we needed the full range of the draft to be able to understand what was going on. I don't think that prior to this draft, we anticipated them bulking up on the defensive line the way that they did. I mean, we ended up with two edge rushers and two interior defensive linemen when all was said and done. And I think when the first defensive line, first D tackle went off the board as high as he was with a guy like Aaron Robinson and other cornerbacks sitting there, we were all kind of sitting there just scratching our heads. Like, I don't understand really what's going on. But now that we have the scope of them trying to bulk up both sides, both trenches on offense and defense, I get it. I understand it. I like it as well for the value that we got him. I think he can be an incredible playmaker. You're talking about a guy that is 20 pounds shy of 300 pounds. He's running a 4.6, which is I ironically enough, I just saw I know that he's old. I just saw a story today that Mike Vick just ran a 40-yard dash today. 40 years old, he ran a 4.7. I was like, so this guy's running faster than Mike Vick at 40. That's pretty damn fast, man. I think you combine that with his strength. He can be an explosive force blowing up the middle of the line. I like it.
Yeah, the thing with Milton Williams, we weren't really hating the player at all. It was more the position, just because there's a lot of the Eagles still had a lot of holes to fill when we were up at pick 73. And in the third round, you're looking for some immediate starters. And last year, when we took Davion Taylor, which not to knock the kid, it was a huge reach. Davion Taylor was a guy that we had discussed maybe as like a fifth round pick. And seeing the draft history last couple years when we were reaching for guys, it was a little frustrating. I mean, Davion Taylor got added to our worst group on the team and still couldn't see the field much. That was very frustrating. The strength of the team is probably Fletcher Cox and Hargraves. That's why it was kind of confusing when we saw the pick. Milton Williams is an absolute freak. On paper, the value's there. Every single scout and all talent evaluators like, yeah, this guy's a freak in nature. People call him Aaron Donald-like. But that being said, how much value are you getting out of him year one? I think that as the team gets a little older, maybe year two, year three, he's going to be an absolute star for the team. But it's just frustrating because you won't be able to get to see him right away. And just looking at players that we liked, and apparently Tom Donahue liked, I mean, Aaron Robinson was there for the taking, Benjamin St. Juice, Chaz Surratt, Malcolm Kuntz. I mean, there's just a lot of guys that would have started week one for the Eagles there at 73, and that's why it was frustrating. But overall, though, we like the player, and I think that he's going to be a guy that is going to find his way on the field. Maybe not a lot year one, and this is a team that still has holes. We don't know exactly if Zach Wilson's going to step into CB2 yet. I think he has the potential. Maybe we get a free agent. And then McLeod still is recovering from the knee injury. Was it knee or his lower body injury? And we just got to see what happens. But overall, though, I do feel good about the first three picks. And I see a lot of upside with Dickerson and Williams, even if they don't play a lot first year.
Yeah, I like the Williams pick because he's talented. You know, I always try to hold my judgment until after the draft because you need to look at it as a whole. So at the time, though, let's be real. We were all shocked. And I think a lot of that shock was because of the fact that we traded out of 71st. So now you deal with that initial shock of why are we trading back? There's a lot of talented players we really like here. So they go back to 73 and you're like, oh, who cares? Okay, Aaron Robinson's gone. That sucks. But there's still a lot of guys here. So you're expecting all these other guys. And like Chris just mentioned, you know, the one position I felt very comfortable with going into this draft was defensive tackle. But you know the Eagles, they always put an emphasis on the trenches, both sides of the ball. So sure enough, they went with a guy that, you know, you talk about Aaron Donald, like you look at his measurements, you know, at the top 99 percentile of, you know, the 3-cone drill, the 4-yard dash. This guy is a freak of nature. He's an athlete. Yes. But one of the things, he can move inside, outside. Sometimes, you know, being a master of many is not a master of none, you know, whatever the hell. Look, this guy is pretty talented. It's just he needs to work on maybe his first step quickness, his some of his pass rush moves. He needs to add things to his repertoire. And I think that's just with good coaching. So he's got that raw talent. I saw somebody mentioned reminds Davion Taylor situation. Yeah, a guy that needs some coaching, but he's got the athletic ability. And hey, look, Fletcher Cox isn't getting younger, but that money, look at that cap hit he is costing us. The Eagles are trying to get younger. It's very telling that we got two defensive tackles. And if you're going to do that, at least get one of them right here in this guy. I see some people talking about defensive end. Yeah, sure, he could help out on situations, but this guy could really help on our defense as a pass rushing D tackle that can help a lot against the run. Strong, but he's got shorter arms. I just think with some good coaching, he's going to be a really talented guy, and I like the pick.
Yeah, I like him right off the bat as a rotational guy. When I first heard the pick, I was kind of confused because I wanted Benjamin St. Juice right there once Robinson went off the board. But I mean, they're building for this team to be ready for championship contention in probably 2 years. So you stack that lineup. Hopefully you hit a home run on one of these DNs, D tackles, once Fletcher Cox gets a little older. And that's all I can say about that. I'm not in love with the pick, but I don't absolutely hate it. It's just my honest opinion. I would have rather the cornerback there because their cornerback room right now is a joke.
No, I mean, I the overall feeling I get after this draft now is like, when's the CB2 coming in? I know some people in the chat are saying Steven Nelson, and thoughts on UDF signings. We are actually going through the whole list. So if you follow with us, we're on the the third fourth pick of the draft.
Well, yes.
Are we?
Milton Williams was the third.
The chat is like super spicy for UDFAs right now.
You think that they'd be excited to talk about the guys that we actually drafted?
I know. Shout out to Brandon. He's already talking about. You want Richard Sherman, bro? We're talking about the draft right now. We're talking about we're gonna. I made a nice little graphic. Spent like half hour doing this to Eagles 2021 draft class. So we are going to talk about it tonight, my guy. We could talk about Richard Sherman at the end of the draft.
Raiders just got Casey Hayward.
Breaking Steven news. Nelson.
You know, Chris gives away picks on draft day. Now he's giving away breaking news on the show. Chris can't control his emotions. When,
Nelson
or
J.C.
News.
Jackson, please. You know, he would step across the line. Habitually, he's a habitual line stepper.
Now, were the Eagles a habitual line stepper when they made this next pick? Zach McPherson, another guy that I heard that he was a guy that they, you know, like the upside from him. You know, there was some other more developed corners that were on the board that I thought they could probably have went with. You know, he transferred from Penn State, had an issue on the depth chart, making it on the field, and he went to Texas Tech to take his talents. Was he like LeBron James? I'm taking my talents to Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. But for him, it worked out. I mean, overall, were you guys pretty shocked, or were you feeling that pick?
I was very shocked. We were putting an emphasis on outside corners, right? We kept getting our hopes up and watching guys like St. Jude's and watching guys like Aaron Robinson.
Thank you.
Dude, it sucked. Yeah, great graphic, Gail. But I think, you know, this guy threw us all a curveball because he's more of an inside guy when you look at him. He played outside, and he can play outside, and that's one of the things the Eagles love, the versatility of every single player we mentioned. So Zach McPherson, you know, a lot of the scouts have him very high. I had him at a decent rank, but not that high. And I think he was about 20 places higher where I had him. And I wanted an outside corner. Okay. That's what threw me a curveball. But this all comes down to how are we going to do in the next few weeks here? Is he going to add someone in free agency, or is he going to add someone via trade? But we're talking about the draft right now. You did not address that. And if you wanted to address it in free agency, you already should have done it. So you didn't do it in the draft again this year, but you go get a guy that he can play man. He can play zone. He's got some knocks on him. That's why, you know, he wasn't first round, second round, third round. So he's a playmaker, dude. You heard about the family. We talked about old family playing baseball. Five brothers play. It's great. He's got ball skills, but he needs to work on his footwork, route recognition. He's got a lot of things. He's kind of that role when coming in the NFL. But Jonathan Gannon, what a perfect guy to have. Not so sure I trust Avante Maddox in that slot anyway. So you got yourself maybe a guy that is that slot guy. We talk about, you know, being that spur guy that can play part safety, part, you know, corner. But he's really just a matchup for some of these running backs, some of these wide receivers. And with the straight line speed he has, I think he'll actually be a benefit to have him on our team. I think he helps on special teams. He's blocked a couple field goals and punts. This dude is just a playmaker, and, you know, he goes up, gets the ball. His timing on going up and getting the ball, though, he needs to work on some of those things. So an interesting pick. We needed outside and inside corner. I was very surprised to see them go inside first. So it's a weird pick, but the kid's actually pretty talented. And where we got him from everything I've read from guys that are, you know, I respect more their opinion than mine. They've talked this guy up a lot, and I think I put on the blinders this offseason and wasn't really paying too much attention to an inside guy like himself, even though he can play out. But I think he'll actually be pretty good for the Eagles.
Yeah, so Zach is Zach Wilson, he's a guy he's a guy that is a ball hawk. He had four interceptions last year, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. He's rangy, he can move around. It was just a surprise pick because there was a lot of talent. I mean, you're talking about a fourth-round pick, and I'm not really sure if he can start on the outside just yet. That's why a lot of people, and even Howie Roseman was suggesting, oh, don't forget when we added Ronald Darby. And that was the confusion. Like, is this guy not going to be like a day one impact guy again. And that's why it was confusing, because you had Dickerson, Williams, and McPherson like all in a row. And like the three of them aren't really seen, like projected to start week one. And that's why everyone's like, oh, like what's going on? Like we still didn't address the outside corner. I think McPherson would probably start over Avonte Maddox at this point, because I feel like we've kind of have seen what Avonte is. But in general, I can see the profile of why they liked him. I thought he was going to go a little bit later personally, and so did some other people. But I feel like he got a lot of hype from some scouts, and that's kind of what pushed him up the board. But in general, though, him wearing the Shady McCoy jersey gave him a little extra boost of confidence from me. So, yeah, go Zach.
That's all it takes is a jersey?
At this point, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not hard to please at this point either, Chris.
So for me, I never even heard of you before. I'm not even going to lie. So when I saw his name, I was in my car on the way down the shore. I was like, who the hell is this guy? So I got home from the shore, put on the tape, started watching him. So I wrote down a pros and cons list. Excellent tackler, above average ball skills, very physical, but not handsy. High IQ, doesn't shy away from contact. He's going to be a special teams ace. And like Jimmy said, he's versatile. Cons, he jumps routes very, very prematurely. He relies on his athleticism instead of his footwork and technique at times, and it can improve on his jump ball timing. From what I saw, in my opinion, he's going to be a very, very, very he's gonna be a good slot cornerback in this league, and I think in the fourth round would be the perfect time to take a slot corner. You need to still address the outside cornerback position, but if you can get yourself a stud slot cornerback in the fourth round, I'm all right with it.
And that's just like kind of where I want to kind of bring this down a little bit with my negativity. And we're stuck on that word if right now. This is all if we end up getting an outside corner that can come in and help out as a CB2. That's really what it disgruntled me a little bit with this pick. We went into this draft, and one of the key things, the key positions that we wanted to upgrade in this draft was the cornerback, specifically another outside corner. And we waited around until the fourth round, which was longer than I would have liked to have waited. And we ended up getting a guy that just wasn't really collectively on any of our boards. And it's not for a lack of – I think he's got a good ceiling. I think he can develop into a good corner in this league. But it's not – it's one of those situations where we're still relying on another cornerback coming in here in order for this to make sense. So that's why I'm kind of just hung up on this. I don't think he's a guy that can immediately come in and make an impact. And since we still have some addressing to do at the cornerback position, I'm not entirely excited about it.
I'll say this, man, if we don't address it, this kid is going to be the one starting outside. Like I said, I think he finds a home, and AJ just mentioned as well, I think inside is where his home is, but he can help all over the place. We talk about him being a hybrid guy, kind of play a safety role as well. But I think if we don't address it, this kid's going to get thrown out there, and we're in some trouble, because like Evan said, we shouldn't have to rely on him right now. But the fact that you haven't addressed it, we waited till the fourth, and then you took a guy that's inside. Dude, you could have Avonte Maddox or bring back Strap if you want, and then I would be okay. I wouldn't be as concerned. But right now, you drafted an inside guy, and you got nobody out there. We got tire salesmen. Oh, exactly. Okay. Great. This is wonderful.
But, exactly. Herm, you saying that you were going to bring the negative in it, but my thing with it is this: the front office knows that they're not winning this year. So if they feel like they're going to force a pick on an outside guy that they don't think is going to fit the system, then yeah, don't do it.
But like, I don't feel – I almost feel as if – I don't want to say that it was forced, but I feel like they ended up missing on a corner earlier in the draft that they didn't get. And then we reached the fourth round, we reached that pick, and then we're like, oh, we got to take a corner at this point. Cause like we've gone so far that we just haven't taken a corner. I know there were some trades that fell through as well throughout the draft.
Yeah.
Like maybe they were anticipating maybe getting another pick and landing a corner. And the fact that this is the one that we walked away with in the draft, I didn't think that we improved the cornerback position that much, when it was one of the positions I really, really wanted to get at least two guys, specifically one at least right by day two.
Right, and I hear you on that, and that's why I said that I don't love the Williams pick, because I think that they should have taken Benjamin St. Juice there, as an outside corner.
Well, you know, they almost traded up for this kid,
right,
for McPherson, the third. So they really like him.
But this is my point with that. I just think that if you think that this kid could be a premier slot corner in the league, and you don't think that the other outside corner positions left in the draft, the prospects, will be a premier outside corner, then you take that premier slot guy.
100%.
Nowadays, the slot receivers are killing defenses.
And I agree with you, AJ.
Athleticism.
Right, exactly.
I think if you have the ability to add somebody to your roster that can be a premier player at any position, you take them, whether it's a slot guy and you need an outside or whatever. But the fact of the matter is that, like, he isn't exactly that. We don't know for certain that he is a premier slot corner, and it's the only one we took from that draft. So we're still banking on the fact that we have to develop him, and at this point we're still waiting on the fact of who's going to be the CB2.
Right, but you could say that about any prospect, even a first-round pick. We don't we don't know anything about any of these kids until they're on a football field. So
for sure.
That's just putting some light on it. That's it.
There's a silver lining, of course.
Yeah.
I mean,
I hope I'm right.
I mean, I understand the idea of like wanting to double dip at corner. I was definitely hoping that we got a cornerback earlier to address that need. Going outside and getting a CB2, having to, you know, pay someone in free agency when you have guys that you can develop and they can start from day one, maybe at CB2 in the second round. It is what it is. But I mean, overall, I feel like as a fan base, we all collectively got together in on this selection. I feel like Kenneth Gainwell, where he was drafted 150th overall, I felt like, you know, he was an electric player out of the backfield in space. You know, he's been a phenomenal, I feel like he's been a phenomenal player at Memphis. In the offseason I was saying it's mid back university, because that's where mid-round back, where you can get you can go from Pollard, you can go to Antonio Gibson. I think Gainwell's the next guy. Talk about a guy who's had 57 receptions in 2019 and 2018. His breakout season was in 2019. He had 1,400 yards, averaged 6.3 yards per carry, 13 touchdowns. You don't think these people ask why did he fall? I think opting out might not have been the best thing for his stock. You know, like sometimes, you know, people forget about you. But I feel like, you know, overall, I felt like a guy that can play in space, get out of the backfield, stress defenses. I think everybody was collectively in on this pick. Can you all agree on this?
And he grew up an Eagles fan. It's
his tweet today?
Yeah, of course.
You see his tweet today?
Yeah. It was awesome.
Yep. I think he's awesome because he not only is an exciting back, we needed an exciting back. We talked about an RB2. This guy can block out of the backfield. Even though he's only 5'8", 200 pounds, this dude actually hits people. Watch the clip of him putting Micah Parsons on his ass. I love this little fella. He is somebody I think is going to be a great piece of this offense. We talked about adding a running back like this, whether it was Gainwell or Felton, giving Nick Sirianni that Nyheim Hines type of running back. We have Miles Sanders, yes, but we are going to actually run the ball, ladies and gentlemen. So let's have some good running backs. Now you have a stable of running backs. You got Jordan Howard back there. Now he can be your RB3. Now Boston Scott can be your RB4. No one cares about. Literally got yourself a stud. The kid's footwork, his cutting, just the change of direction when you watch this kid. He broke my ankles just watching him. Yeah. I literally think he's so exciting. And I get he's undersized and whatever, dude. We all went through it with Darren Sproles. We know how good that guy was. This kid, I'm not saying he's Sproles, but I think he could be one of those kind of guys helping the return game. I'm excited just watching him right now. I think this is going to be a fun offense to watch.
And one thing that I don't want to be swept under the table either, he's great receiving the ball out of the backfield as well. I mean,
say that? Because
a great out of the backfield. But what I'm saying is, like, this dude, I know he opted out for that season. but he put together between receiving and rushing yards in 2019, put over 2,000 yards, 16 touchdowns, man. He had 1,400 rushing yards, 600 receiving yards. This dude, no matter how you want to use him, he can get the job done. I think him and Miles Sanders is going to be a beautiful 1-2 punch, man.
Wasn't that only 51 catches, too, with that 600 yards?
That was 51 catches for 610 yards, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He's averaging 12 yards a catch and had 3 touchdowns receiving in that year. So, he's explosive however you want to put him.
Yeah, if you were watching the live stream, you knew how excited I was about the pick. I threw my draft board.
Oh, yeah.
Got the fist pumps in. I love Kenneth Gainwell. We talked about getting a running back at some point in this draft. This was the guy that we all talked about in the mid rounds because, yeah, we would have loved someone like Javonta, but it wasn't. We didn't have the luxury of taking him there. Even though we knew that we almost took J.K. Dobbins last year, this was the luxury and the value pick. I mean, everyone was like mad on the timeline who didn't know who Kenneth Gainwell was because they're like, we have Miles Sanders. What are we doing? Like, we just re-signed Boston Scott. We just re-signed Jordan Howard. It's like, listen, we love those guys. But what has happened for the last 3 years after the Super Bowl and even the Super Bowl? Everyone went down. Josh Adams was our leading rusher, 3 years ago. And the last two seasons, we've watched the Boston Scott show against the New York Giants by the end of the year. That's why it's like, okay, you got these guys. Like, there's a reason why Jordan Howard lasted on the street for a little while. There's a reason why no one else signed Boston Scott. Like, Kenneth Gainwell is that dude. Like, everyone was, like, wondering, like, why did Miles Sanders fall off in pass protection? Why did Miles Sanders fall off in the passing game in general? I mean, Miles, he had a case of the drops last year. But Kenneth Gainwell, he's coming from RBU right now. I mean, Antonio Gibson comes on the scene. D'Angelo Williams is from Memphis as well. And the thing with Kenneth Gainwell is that he's explosive and he's going to be all over the field. Think about Austin Eckler. Think about Tariq Cohen. Yep. Think about Darren Sproles, Nyheim Hines, that's coming from a Sirianni offense. This is a guy that's going to be a move piece. He's going to be all over the place. And him and Devonta Smith, that's exactly what you want to do for Jalen Hurts. We want to find out what is going to make or break this offense, not the players. If Jalen Hurts can step up with these guys, he's the guy. You have two, maybe three potential first-round picks next year, and you ball out with that. You don't have to worry about getting another quarterback. You get him the weapons. And Kenneth Gainwell is an absolute steal here in the fifth round at 150.
Like you said, Chris, Austin Eckler is the first person I think of when I watch his film, dude. He's he can hit the hole. He doesn't shy away from contact, but his receiving skills are just ridiculous for a running back. It's going to help this offense so much, but so much more in it. As much as we want Miles Sanders to be on the field for 30, 40 plays a game, it's just not realistic. And having somebody as like a Kenneth Gainwell to help back as an RB2 just helps so much. It helps this offense so much more.
Now, another player that could help us out a little bit more on the inside. A guy that it was funny because we had a talk to prospect all set up with Marlon Tuipulotu, and
messed up the easy name. Huh? Yeah. I said Marlon, you messed up the easy name. Too focused Tuipulotu on the last name.
But we had to talk to prospect set up with him. For some reason, we reached out to his agent. Everything set up. He didn't show up to his interview, and me and Chris had a great time. After researching him, but then cosmic forces that research didn't go to waste because here he is, an Eagle, and I felt comfortable with that pick. And I mentioned him earlier in the off season, but I felt like his skill set. You know, if you're talking about a developmental piece, a guy that can, he's got some twitch to his game. If you're going to talk about the high motor guy, he definitely has the high motor, but he's definitely got a mean streak in him. If you saw him down at the Senior Bowl, I think you look at a guy like Trey Smith. He was eating his lunch all day long down at the Senior Bowl. Definitely made him some money after the Senior Bowl week. But overall, I know Chris, he got a little scout book. He's flipping his pages over there. I hear you.
With Marlon, I mean, the thing that we love about him is he has very heavy, violent hands. He's kind of like a boxer. He will get right chest to chest with you and just beat your chest until your heart stops. He's just like a very he loves Tongan food. Here's some draft notes that we didn't get to ask him. Lou Palolu is his favorite food. Snowfall is his favorite show, and Miss Lippy's car is green. But yeah, overall though, Marlon is a guy that we really like. Another guy that I was kind of confused with the pick because we went very heavy into interior defensive line, but Marlon is an absolute value. Guys, we're talking about him in the third round. To get him this late at pick 189, it's a steal, and it's one of those things where Howie's like, we're going to build in the trenches, and at least he didn't lie about to us about that, and that's exactly what we did with Marlon. I think he is going to be a very solid piece. It's just interesting to see how competitive it's going to be in some of these positions, and one position other than D-tackle, and I can't wait to get to the undrafted guys, is wide receiver, but let's get to the next guys soon.
Yeah, Marlon is he's a stud. He's a big boy, and we need ourselves a run-stopping defensive tackle. We went ahead, got a guy that, you know, resembles an Aaron Donald. We talk about his freak athleticism. This dude, you know, I love what Chris just said there. He will beat you violently. He will get in the backfield, and he'll beat your ass. He sets the edges so he can move around on the line. We talk about versatility all the time. We know what the Eagles want. So this is one of those guys you keep your eye on. And look at him. This is why Gale and Chris knew to try to get an interview. Because, look, the gods have spoken. Now he's an Eagle. And now we're going to make that interview happen anyway as a Philadelphia Eagle. Love this kid.
Yeah, I already shouted out the agent. I was like,
there you
hey,
go. My man.
Hey, remember me, guy.
But yeah, I think this kid's going to be a great piece. He's not going to be a starter for us. I don't think he's ever – I think he's going to make his claim as that, you know, rotational piece that comes in and, you know, helps against the run. And he'll find a home here for a while. And I think people are really going to love him. I think he's going to be a fan favorite.
Them Tongan and those Samoan D tackles don't disappoint often. So,
no doubt.
I'm definitely not upset with the pick at all. I think I like that pick more than I like the Milton Williams pick in the third round.
Yeah, I think what really sold me was just the value that we got him. I wasn't expecting him to slip this far, and with him sitting there on the board, I could have been very disappointed in Howie if he didn't end up taking him. If he said he's going to build through the trenches, this is the type of guy you want to do that with. I do want to say, though, I think it's kind of I loved what we did with the Talk to Prospect this year. I hope it's something we can continue to do in years moving forward. However, three Talk to Prospect alum go to the Cowboys, and one of these guys that ends up on the Eagles, no calls, no shows. What are the chances, man?
Yeah, that's maybe just we'll just cancel next year with the guys that we like. We'll
yeah, exactly. Yeah, but hopefully we can talk to him soon.
Yeah. But
I think Gail's frozen there.
Yep.
All right. But anyway. All right.
Did everybody get to talk about him?
We'll keep. Yeah, I believe so.
Keep talking about him until Gale comes back.
We could do that. We could.
We're very time. We're time sensitive. So let's get to definitely one of our favorites.
Ron games. Jackson's next, right?
Yeah. Edge rusher.
Dude, what else can we say? We said it last night, dude. I mean, the kid's explosive. Now they worry about his length. They worry about after his first segment. Whatever, dude. I don't care. There's a reason that a guy like him falls to the sixth round, and I think everybody's going to be pretty damn excited. He plays a little upright, so he definitely has some things to work on. We talk about this when you're getting into these rounds. But he's a very flexible, athletic guy. And I think, you know, one of those rotational pass rushers that we talk about coming in, I think he's going to be perfect for this team. I know that I was very excited. I not only had AJ come on the show, he talked about him, had Chris come on the show, he talked about him. I know me and Gail had talked about, Evan, I think even you and I talked about him when he came on. Actually, I know we did. So we are very
he's definitely
in love
a name
with
that was brought
pick.
Up.
Yep. Great value in day three. So another great value pick.
And people talk about the height for him, but who's he going to be learning besides Brandon Graham, a guy that has was knocked on about his height. But Teron Jackson, the reason why we like him here is we watched him at the Senior Bowl. He was just beating people up. He's a lot quicker. People talk about the upright thing, but the reason why he can beat people is his hands are so violent, and he is just quick. I really think that him behind BG for a year is going to help tremendously, and adding him to the rotation and not having high expectations is going to help. I mean, look at these six-round picks that we like. These are two guys that could have went way earlier in the draft, and these are guys that aren't going to have high expectations, but they have very high floors. I mean, Marlon's a guy I expect to make the team and see on the field. Teron's a guy I expect to make the team and see on the field. So let's see what happens. I mean, it's a nice young group, and the next pick I'm really excited about because he's an LSU guy, but let's finish up on Teron.
So for me, I jumped on the Coastal Carolina train after their second win of the season because of Teron Jackson and because of
those colors,
a couple beautiful colors. But there's just a couple players that really caught my eye on that team. And Teron was the first one that stood out to me. And I just kept following them all season. And then me and him linked up on Twitter and just started talking. And we were supposed to do an interview for Talk to Prospect. And the times just never worked for either one of us. So, but we just kept talking the whole time on Twitter and all that. And when he got drafted, I hit him up and I was like, dude, we were talking about this, like you potentially being an Eagle. And it actually happened. Like I was just so pumped because the kid he's an absolute animal on the football field. He plays with an alpha mentality. Always head down, nonstop high motor, and he's just such a humble kid and has a lot of humility. He's
the sack leader at his school year at Coastal Carolina too. He's a freak of nature.
His production this year was insane.
And if you just look at it, you just follow these videos along too. The dude looks like if he gets within a certain radius of whoever has the ball, he seems like a great tackler, man. You're not escaping his arms. He's super strong. Great value for where we got him.
He was one of the leaders in the league in tackles for in college, tackles for loss. So it's a lot. That's one thing that Howie loves is guys who can get behind the backfield and make tackles.
And then 4.7 running off the edge.
Yeah, in his career, he's got 44.5 tackles for loss, and for his career, he's talking about 26.5 sacks over the last couple years. And you look at a guy like Quiddy Pay with like lack of production in that sack area. I'm not gonna say he's Quiddy Pay athletically or anything, but I'm saying he's been productive
as well.
You just like that he's been productive. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah. But going along with talking to him on Twitter, he hit me back up. He was like, yeah, I'm excited to be here. And he was like, if you want to hit me on that interview now that I'm with Philadelphia, just let me know. So
that's a
potential.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a potential interview for us. So
that's nice, man. Yeah. That's nice. Mark is impressed all the way from Oregon. Mark is impressed in the chat. It seems like we have some LSU love here. Shout out to Will Smith. He's showing some love for either Chris's sweatshirt, or could it be the next person in line? Would that be Jacoby Stevens? See, I didn't put safety up there. Linebacker, Jacoby Stevens. You talk about him being productive in the box. Was he as consistent in space as he was in the box? I think if the Eagles are looking for that. You know, they finally got rid of Mr. Nate, a.k.a. Whitesnake. Could this be a potential replacement for a hybrid type? The thing about him, you like that he said, about his game, he said, the NFL is slowly becoming like the NBA. It's all about matchups. So he's like, if you can match up and, expose players, that's what it's like in the NFL now. Like you're trying to get people singled out. He's like, I can play in space, I can play in the box. This is another guy, Chris, you were high on. He was one of your day three targets that made sense for the Eagles. I'll let you start first.
So Jacoby Stevens, I did my Ed Orgeron impression yesterday, and I don't think I have enough brain cells to do that again. But Ed Orgeron hopped on the draft live and just was had glowing reviews about him. Jacoby's a guy that his ball skills are a little underrated. I posted a highlight of him making some insane one-handed interception in the middle of the field. The thing with Jacoby is a little bit of inconsistency, but overall, though, he's a guy that when you saw Jalen Mills coming to fill the gap and you saw Saquon Barkley running through the hole, you got a little nervous. If you see Saquon Barkley running through the gap and Jacoby Stevens is running through there, you're at the edge of your seat because this dude can hit, and he loves to hit. The reason why I like him is because, like we talk about the receivers and the running backs, on the defensive side, he's a multiplier. He's a guy that can move all across the box. He's a guy that is extremely confident in the way he plays. Very violent. Yeah, there it is. He gets sacks. He can play up at the line. He can move back a little bit. And listen, it's LSDBU. There's no problem with me getting any defensive back or defensive player from LSU. They're trained and taught very well. I mean, look at the highlight right there. Because people say, oh, it's a box safety. Then the dude makes a one-handed interception. The thing with Jacoby is you're going to see Jonathan Gannon use him as a move piece, just like how they're going to use Devonta Smith all over the offensive formation. They're going to use Jacoby Stevens on the defensive formation. He's going to be playing at the edge. He's going to be playing deep. He's going to be playing in the middle. And never talk about Nathan Gary again, please. He's not here. I don't want to listen to the name. I have PTSD from him. Jacoby Stevens is a guy that is really going to push the limits of what this defense is capable of. Yes, that's the reaction. I don't want to talk about Whitesnake anymore. But overall, excited about it, man.
So Chris, I have a question for you since you're the big LSU guy.
Yep.
I did research on Stevens before the draft, not too much so, but why I seen people have him as a potential fourth round area pick. Is there any reason why he slipped to the sixth?
So we talked about it yesterday. I believe that we came to the conclusion that there's a little bit of immaturity and inconsistency, mostly with play speed consistently, a little bit of effort. But overall, though, it was a guy that, like, I don't know exactly all the knocks on him because Ed Orgeron just had such high glowing reviews saying, like, this is a dude that's going to give you 150% and is going to – he'd die for any of his teammates. I mean, you see the plays going on right now. Like, these are long developing plays, and he's just there every time. I'm not really worried about it, and I feel like he's just a really nice value where we're getting him. And overall, I just think that he plays with kind of like that swagger and confidence that Jalen Mills thought he had but didn't have. And I'm just really excited to see this kid in here. I mean, you see the sacks he's getting. You can put him everywhere, and he disguises himself really well. And it's going to be exciting. He's a big dude, and I can see why they listed him at linebacker instead of safety.
Right.
I think what I would say is the reason that he probably dropped, they talk about him being a little over-aggressive. He's very aggressive, and he loves to hit, but he needs to work on that. You know, he has too many missed tackles. Just, you know, his timing is off. I think, you know, they talk about his burst, you know, closing speed. There's definitely some issues there, and he's kind of in limbo, kind of how that person we won't mention. You know, he's a little undersized for a linebacker, but not the greatest coverage skills, so he's not necessarily your safety. But the one thing, you know, anybody that tells you that, Chris, tell him to, you know, kiss your ass, because this guy used to play wide receiver. So he's got the ball skills. I think that's why he's going to make a perfect nickel linebacker for us, that hybrid joker type of safety linebacker, and what we were kind of hoping Will Parks would be last year. I think this kid is going to come in. His attitude. We talk about all these guys. Right. You know, I mentioned at the beginning of the video, 6 out of 9 of our draft picks being team captains. This dude, what just leadership, man. These are high quality guys. I like this pick a lot.
Right.
I know. Yeah, I was reading a Brugler's thing. He put a note in from an NFL scout that he got word from. He said that the coaches say he can be a unifying leader when he wants to, but the attitude issues can be a distraction, not what you want to hear about a senior. This is from NFL scout. So it is what it is. I think, you know, Rakshak had asked how was in the coverage skills. I think, you know, if they think of him more of as a tweener, like in between more of a linebacker, and they feel safer, that's where he'll flourish. That's probably why you see him here. And he's more consistent in the box than he is in coverage, I believe.
Right.
But I like when they take a MF's face off, though.
Yeah.
And Devonta Smith knows all about that.
Yeah, I like the pick for as a value pick. I had him as like a back end four, probably to mid fifth. It was more realistic to me, but I didn't know about the tip you just gave us about the inconsistency of leadership and all that. So I like the value of the pick.
I mean, it is what it is. Like, it's like, you know, people do hear things. I mean, he was one of the guys that, you know, had mentioned on the live stream that he made sure all his teammates were out there registered to vote. He's, you know, talking mm-hmm. about unifying, get the team together. But again, like his interview yesterday with the Eagles beat writers and his presser was pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. He did his interview and he did his draft party from the actual, like, I believe it was his training facility. Like he's been like for the last 3 months that he's been there, and then his family came there and they watched it. So he seems pretty excited, man. It's funny. He almost looks like a black version of Puga, if I'm being honest.
Wow. I think it's a face shape, but yeah, you're right.
It does, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to get Puga in here for a facial reference.
That's great.
Going on to the last pick,
the violent one.
Who wants to start with Patrick Johnson from Tulane? He's I'm going to be honest, not a guy that I didn't have anything on.
Can we be real here?
I was like, okay. Does anyone have anything on Patrick Johnson?
Yeah, he's a good edge rusher. The thing mm-hmm. is, there's some confusion about where the hell he's going to play. Right. So right off the bat, it's like, oh, God. I saw one of his comparisons, though, was to Derek Barnett, which yep. I find to be amusing. But another one, a little tight in the hips and the ankles. But I think this kid, you know, a very violent, aggressive guy again. And everything I read from him, like I didn't get to watch too much where I was super high on him. I can't say that I was somebody that talked about him a lot, but I did see other scouts very high on him and it always intrigued me. So I checked him out and I like him. I thought he was going to be maybe a sixth round talent. So the fact that we got him in the seventh round is what makes me like him so much. So just from the little I did see, he's a very violent dude off the edge. And that's mm-hmm. what we seem to be getting out of all these guys. Very aggressive. And we're building this defensive line to go attack people. And that's how we won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, people forget this ain't Schwartz's defense, though.
Right. No, it's mm-hmm. not.
Exactly.
This is going to be
thank
a
God,
blitz-heavy
more
defense.
Attacking defense.
Yeah. So,
tell the quick notes, dude off the edge, man.
Yeah, the notes I had on him were just he's like Jimmy said, he's very violent. He's fluid for his size, but he's just not. He's just extremely short for his size. Like
very undersized.
He's very very undersized. He doesn't have a very big wingspan. He's got very below burst off the edge. It's seventh round pick. You know what I mean? It's where I had him, but
Looks more like a 3-4 outside linebacker.
I agree.
It's weird. The thing with Patrick Johnson that cracks me up is I'm so used to seeing his face because every single time I did a mock draft, he was there in the sixth and seventh round as the top edge rusher left. And I would mm-hmm. always be like, oh, Tulane, Patrick Johnson. Like, I guess I have to take him now. And I did in, like, every single mock draft. And I just remember, like, looking up notes and all the same things, just, like, size concerns. But the one thing that people really agreed that he was good at was, even though he had lack of size, was extending and utilizing the size to the best of his ability. And if you guys really want to get some really cool draft nuggets about like defensive line play, 100% listen to Chris Long's podcast. He broke down Quiddy Pay, Rousseau, Owe, and like all these guys and just talked about like what separates them as the first round picks and the guys going later. And at first he said, oh, I like Quiddy Pay. And then eventually he's like, nah, like Quiddy Pay is not nearly as high as I thought. And I think it's really important to listen to those breakdowns because listen, like we just spent 1, 2, 3, 4 picks on all these defensive linemen. And we have to see what we have with the guys on the roster as well. So definitely check that out. But in general, though, I think Patrick Johnson, he is what he is, seventh round pick. Hopefully, I think he'll push to make the practice squad. And in general, though, I see most of these picks either making the team or the practice squad, mostly because of lack of depth that we have now. But I think it's a solid group that they want to develop, and they're going to make sure that they hold on to. And I hope they don't make the practice squad for some of them, like, and they just make the active roster, because these guys will get stolen. Like, if you let a Marlon to a Pelotu go on the practice squad, a team's going to take him immediately.
You know who this guy reminds me of, actually? The situation we had last year with Casey Tuhill. We drafted him. Everybody's like, oh, he's a linebacker. It's like, look, he looks like one, kind of, but he's not. He's an edge rusher. And a 3-4 outside linebacker is just a 4-3 defensive end. And that's what we have here going on. So it's really weird to have a tweener when you're not really running a 3-4. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how this kid works out. But Derek Barnett did, and he was going through the same kind of situation. So. Yeah, well, I won't say he worked out. You know, it's.
I was gonna say now Derek Barnett's stock here is dropping.
Hey, I just Sweat I just, and Jackson just, in the future with this guy. My mind.
I just saw this draft as a futures draft, in my opinion.
The back end of it for sure.
Right. They know that they're not going to be in serious contention for at least another 2 years, possibly three. So they're just trying to stock up. Come on, Let's be realistic here.
Well, that's the thing. Everyone forgets that we have a first and an extra fifth next year that we acquired in this draft. So it's like, not only did we focus
and we
on
get
the
money,
we had with the picks, but we got
and we're going to have gonna get money. The highest salary cap in the league next year.
The cap's going to go up too.
So we're going to have a lot of flexibility next year. So
which is why I think they end sooner. If Hurts, the best case scenario for us is for Hurts to be a legit QB one, because then those three first round picks can go to a cornerback, if you want another weapon for Hurts, if that's what you want, or you can sign one of those. The next year's defensive end class is going to be legit, so you can grab one of them. It's as much as I rip on Howie, he kind of put us in a good position for next year, in my opinion.
Yo, the chat has been super spicy about
the free agents, man. And it's time.
Like, they don't want to even talk about any of the players that we drafted.
I can't wait to talk about two of them.
Let's go with these four. Start with these four. We have
I'm ready, man.
Go ahead, Chris. Have at it, my guy.
I love Buffalo OG / tackle Coyote. I don't know if it's Coyote or Coyote. Iwasika. I mean, man, like, you talk about leadership. He was another guy that was a team captain, and it seemed like that was a common trend with this draft. 32 career starts, can play left tackle, right tackle. If you want to get an inside look at his life, he actually had an inside, like, a day with the athlete with himself. He's just a guy that plays really, really violent, has really nice feet. I'm really interested to see how he turns out. I mean, he kind of reminds me of like Prince Tagovailoa last year, who I was kind of annoyed that we let get stolen off the practice squad. No idea how it's going to pan out for him, but I can see the upside for this kid. And then going on, let's see. Do you guys have any opinions on him as well?
I mean, I like Coyote as well, Chris. You know, you and me were talking about him a little bit.
Awesome name. I can add that to the group.
Yeah, about it. I mean, he went undrafted because there's some, you know, there's obviously some knocks on him. Obviously, one of those guys, they talk about being a little too upright. He struggles a little bit with his reactions. Not great against some of these more athletic pass rushers. But that's why I envision a guy like him, and actually you have it listed right there, as guard. I could see him definitely playing inside. But once again, back to that versatility. So, yeah, I like the pick or signing of the undrafted free agent.
Nebraska tight end Jack Stroll. I mean, if you wanted 80s porn hair, that would be the hairstyle for you.
That's tight.
I'm about to cut my hair right now.
Dude could have grew up in a, or he could have been in a Whitesnake video. On a Camaro.
Don't put that on him, man. Don't put that on him. Don't give him that.
I mean, does anybody have anything on Nebraska tight end Jack Stroll?
I do. I love this dude. They talk about him having the soft hands. That was one of the things I love about him. He can actually catch the ball, and he can actually run after he catches the ball. Somebody that we have named, it rhymes with Crack Hurts. He did not do that. This guy is exciting because he's one of those undrafted dudes that you think is just going to come in with a chip on his shoulder. He can play that H-back role that we talked about for weeks coming into this draft, getting that tight end that would come in and play that Trey Burton role that, you know, Nick Sirianni had over in Indianapolis, running the 13 personnel with three tight ends. I think this guy could come in. He's not exactly one of those inline fullback blockers. That's why I say H-back. You know, you can use him as a receiver, maybe a Kyle Juszczyk type of player. I'm very, very excited to have this kid. And with a mullet like that, dude.
With lines. This guy's got a mullet and lines. Business.
So one thing about him, first off, we actually spelled his name wrong. It's S-T-O-L-L. He looks like he's just like strolling through the park, so I understand. But the thing with him, though, is I feel like he would be like the dude that is highlighted in Hard Knocks, and everyone's like, yeah, and they make HBO makes you fall in love with him, then he gets cut. I truly don't really see him making the team or maybe in the practice squad. He's kind of like a body. He not a lot of production. I know he battled injuries. One idea that people are throwing out there is actually moving Jay-Jaw to tight end. I've been saying that
for years, dude.
Because he's got really
to put on an extra 10.
He's a really good blocker, though, and it's just like you got to get some value out of a second round pick. But overall, though, I mean, it's an undrafted free agent. I wish that we kind of got Kenny Yeboah. That being said, I mean, it's all right. The next guy, one of the next two guys that we're going to talk about is the guy everyone in the chat's talking about. We're going to go on for him for a lot longer than Jack Stoll.
I'm still shocked that they didn't draft the tight end. I really thought that they were going to draft one.
Harry Kreider. What do you got to say about is that who you're talking about, or Trevin Grimes? I was going to say the chat has been freaking out about Trevin Grimes.
I mean, everyone's been. I mean, that play he had against Surtain
looking made him.
Everyone's like, oh my god, look at him go! Let's talk about him, man. Like, might as well get it off.
Grimes. Ooh, I mean, that was the guy that first day of one-on-ones at the Senior Bowl, he deleted people, and everyone's like, okay. This guy must be small because you couldn't really tell from the video. It's like, no, like this dude's like 6'3", 6'4", 220, and 15.5 yards per reception, 9 touchdowns in the SEC last year. Wasn't a high volume guy, but he's a guy that when you are like, oh, like what Jay-Jaw could have been, I understand that he's an undrafted free agent, but this dude was highly effective. Highly effective and highly efficient at Florida. He was a guy that Kyle Trask just knew that he could throw the ball up to and trust him. I posted the highlight yesterday of him just absolutely murdering Surtain, and that was one thing knock that Gail and I had on Surtain. He's not good against the big body guy. Seth Williams cooked Surtain. I know that the stats might not be all there, but if you watched it, either bad throws or Williams dropping the ball hurt the stats, but Surtain struggles against tall guys. And the thing with Grimes, though, is he is very fluid with his routes for the most part. The thing with him, and it was funny, is that someone said, oh, like, he's nothing. Like, his comp is like Laquon Treadwell. I'm like, well, if you can not get Laquon Treadwell in the first round and sign him as a free agent, I have no problem taking a shot on that. And there's a ton of a ton of tape of him going against top guys in the SEC and his teammates as well. So I think Trevin Grimes is a guy that's going to push to make the roster and even get on the field week one looking at his position and size. So it's going to be interesting to see how he turns out during camp.
For me, getting Grimes as an undrafted free agent is just a home run, in my opinion. I'm not saying that he was worthy of a third or fourth round pick, but he was a guy that was being talked about in the fifth round, and to get the value of that kind of guy as an undrafted free agent is a steal. As far as his route running, he is fluid on his deeper routes, in my opinion. When it comes to his shorter routes, they're a little lazy. He's definitely a better deep threat than he is around the line of scrimmage, but he's a great hands catcher. He doesn't bring a lot of balls to his body. I mean, as you can see his size, he's a big, big body. And one reason why I think he's going to make this roster is because he is an effective blocker, man. He's one of the best, in my opinion, that I saw this year. He's one of the best run blocking wide receivers in this class. It's not really sexy to fans, but that's sexy to coaches. So
that was a big sell on Whiteside as well, which is making me think that Whiteside's move into tight end could be the thing that extends his life here as an Eagle.
In my opinion, we were talking about that. Me and my buddies were talking about that last year during the season. He's got the frame to put on an extra 15 pounds if he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that move to tight end wouldn't be a bad move, in my opinion.
I caught the last part there, what you were talking about him. I agree. What a steal. I'm sure we're all very excited about this pick. I know we were talking about him before the draft. So, what a great addition in the undrafted class. You talk about a big-bodied guy that can block. Love that. The one thing he doesn't have that J.J. Arcega-Whiteside did coming out was the ability to go up and get those contested balls. He's great at running the deep route. That's what he is. You know, he's a deep threat. Problem is he kind of struggles to track the ball at times. And when he does, he kind of when it's a contested catch, he kind of struggles. So that's why you're seeing a kid like him move into the undrafted realm. But the thing is, I love what you just said there. He puts on some weight, gets coached up by guys that have played wide receiver. And I think that this kid's going to work out just fine. He's going to be a steal. I'm very excited for Trevon Grimes. I was just hitting on some of the negatives I saw as to why he would be here. But the positives you guys all just mentioned, I think, yeah, I'm excited about him.
Yes, sir. I'm feeling great. Thank you. Thank you, Todd. I wanted to say, though, AJ, you got the Rona, bro? Doing some sniffling there, bro.
Who, me?
Yeah, is it the Rona?
Nah. It'll be allergies.
Yeah, no, I'm feeling a lot better. Thank you, Todd.
That's how it starts. That's how it starts.
I do. I still have my taste, so we'll find out.
Going on to some of the other guys here, you know, Jamie Newman was a guy that I thought that they might be in on. And when they selected him, I was like, you know what? I'll take it. Can you see Jamie Newman as your QB3 right off the bat? I mean, we're going to pencil him in. He's got that athletic ability. He's strong in the pocket too. I was watching a couple highlights from yesterday. Just him like going through his reads, and I was like, okay. Are you guys super high on Jamie Newman? I mean, he's a priority for free agent. But I think you can pencil him in as your QB3 for now. Obviously, bringing in another veteran, shaky vet to come in and compete as your QB3. But
I mean, I think he's a talented guy. I just hope it's one of those guys that we don't see. If I can be completely honest, if we do end up seeing him on the field, I hope he can excel. But I'm all in on the Jalen Hurts train, man. I'm hoping it works out with Jalen Hurts. Joe Flacco is going to be that first line of defense right behind him in case Jalen does end up going down. But hopefully Jamie Newman could eventually develop into that quarterback too.
I think he actually, I love this addition. Who was it, Gail? There was somebody in the chat that just kept going off about drafting him in the 7th round. And yeah, I mean, like we talked about, maybe in the 7th, but maybe just wait till the undrafted class. Maybe a guy like him falls. Sure enough, we signed him right after the draft. Oh my, was I excited. This kid, you talk about that dual threat ability. I think he was kind of forced into a lot of that dual threat ability because his team sucked, just like Jalen Hurts had to run the ball a lot. I think he's actually really good at throwing the ball too. I think a lot of people sleep on his ability to do that. And he played for a pretty crappy team in Wake Forest, transferred to Georgia. And I think the competition and his teammates around him kind of hindered his stock, I'll say. I think with the right coaching, with Nick Sirianni, with Brian Johnson, with Shane Steichen, Kevin Petullo, all of the coaches we have that have quarterback coaching experience, wide receiver coaching experience, played the actual position, I think it's going to bode well for a guy like Jamie Newman. especially when he's an undrafted commodity. I'm with you, though. I don't want to see him, Evan, but I think he's going to be great in practice. I think he's going to get to learn from not only Hurts, a quarterback more like himself, but also Joe Flacco as that mentor. But yes, Jalen Hurts, QB1, but what a great opportunity for this young man.
Yeah,
and these snaps are from the Senior Bowl, actually, that we're watching.
Yeah, but Jamin Newman in general is a guy that people start hyping up around the Senior Bowl time. And there's a reason why you love the Jamin Newman pick, and it just makes you hate the Clayton Thorson pick even more. It's like Jamin Newman is 100 times better than Clayton Thorson, and he went undrafted.
Hey, but his dad was an Eagles linebacker, though.
Who, Clayton?
Clayton Thorson's dad was the Eagles linebacker.
I don't care if his dad owned the Eagles. He sucks. He was terrible. He was never good in college, and it made no sense to draft him, and we wasted a draft pick. But back
one of the
Jamin
worst
Newman,
picks ever. That pissed me off more than anything, dude.
But Jamin Newman, though, is a guy that I really like. That he is athletic. He has a really live arm, and a lot of the things that are wrong with him are fixable. It's one of those things where, like, people were like talking about the knocks on Jalen Hurts, but I wasn't looking at the knocks on Jalen Hurts. I was looking at the strengths of Jalen Hurts, and that's what you do. You boost up the good, and then you just build up from the bad. And the thing with Jamin Newman is he's never had this much talent around him that he's going to have with the Eagles. So I think he's going to be a really solid camp arm, and I think that he's going to end up being severely better than Tutty Sud. Sorry, Ev. And I feel like it would just be really interesting to have him. I mean, we have to go against a lot of athletic quarterbacks for the next couple of years. So if you cannot have Jalen Hurts running around during practice and you can have Jamin Newman, that is an awesome value. I mean, I remember when we versus the Cardinals, Jalen Hurts was starting by then, and they're like, oh, look, Greg, like, what are you using, Greg Ward at quarterback for the practice squad? It's like, no, you have Jamin Newman out there now. So he's a nice pick with a lot of upside. It's going to be really interesting. Like, his likeness was Jacoby Brissett, and you could see why Sirianni was interested in that. I think that he could be better than him. He has a really high ceiling. His floor is just a little shaky because you've never seen him with the right players.
Mm-hmm. This kid's going to be a stud, dude. I think if you're talking about trading someone for value, this could be it. And let's say, I don't even want to put that out there, but if things don't work out, we'll just say, with someone, this kid is a nice – I like this kid so much. You talk about his size, a monster, dude, and he's got the dual threat ability. But he's got a rocket. Look at the zip he throws on his ball, man. Like, this kid,
you're about to get naked on the timeline.
I will do it right now.
Is he 6'4"? I mean, Brookley's got him listed at 6'2".
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think he's 6'2". He's 6'2". But, I mean, he's a beast. Look at him out there. And I think, you know, I'm not sitting here saying this guy's a starter right now. He's going to take a couple years of coaching. Like we talked about, me and Chris just mentioned, the talent around him was sucked, dude. So it's kind of hard to gauge what he really was. So we'll see what he's got and what a great commodity he's going to be in practice.
Yes, sir. Hey, man. They all look good in shorts, but can they do it on the football field? I know we don't have anything on. If you do have anything on our last UDFA,
who is it? Osborne?
Jamon Osborne.
We don't even have a position for him. That's how little we have on him.
Yeah. Wide receiver. he lacks everything. I mean, when he's getting pressed, he gets his ass kicked. He doesn't have speed. There's a lot of knocks on him. But one thing I did see, one of the scouts, I was trying to look stuff up on him. They kind of compared him to a Zach Pascal. You know, he's the master of none, you know, but he's got a little bit of everything. And I really don't have much to say about him, because I was like, oh, that's one of those guys I saw in the mock drafts. And you're like, I'm not taking him. But he's undrafted free agent for us now. And if he is one of those guys that can come in and be – one thing I remember was he was reliable catching the ball. So kind of a Greg Ward kind of vibe. So, sure, another guy to add to the competition.
Adam says Mac Hollins for Grimes.
Mac Hollins only had like 20 targets his senior year.
The thing about like Mac Hollins was known as like the special teams guy. He's a special teams demon. Like, and we drafted him what, fourth round?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, when that pick, I was like, bro, like, and then he's like, oh, well, you know, him wanting to play special teams, and like it was that whole shit was weird. I mean, yeah. He did the backpack dance.
Well, this guy does return the ball. He plays special teams there. He returns it, but yeah, I mean, it's weird when you see a guy that's not fast like that.
Yeah, I mean, we could be talking for about another half hour on the hour and a half mark. If you're here at 100, I mean, an hour and 33 minutes into the podcast, I salute you for being a draft nerd. I salute you for doing your homework. You know, but overall, the 2021 draft class is officially in the books. Let me just show this graphic again because it took me so long. These are your guys for now. These are your guys going into this offseason. We got the wide receiver one. We have the future offensive lineman number one. We have some role players. We have some leaders of men. 6 of 9 of those guys are captains. We have a one thumper in there. So, hey, man.
One second. We forgot Harry Kreider, I believe the name was. The kid out of Indiana we added. Interior lineman.
Good. We're good.
Another team captain. He played basketball, wrestling, a versatile guy again. So that was another one we just added a little bit ago.
Go check the list. You'll see it. No one cares about UDFAs. Just Grimes. No one cares about any UDFAs except for Grimes. But for me and the guys, man, we will see you guys in the next one. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly.